same time. One who lived in the hope. While today is undoubtedly sad, it's a time to acknowledge the happier moments, the moments that lift your hearts and help you to remember him for all that he was and all that he achieved. Those precious memories that make us smile when we think of him. In preparing this tribute to David, it came as no surprise how many varied roles David embodied for his family, his friends, and everybody here today. David, a son, a brother, a father, a lover. David, a musician, an entertainer, a raconteur, an author. David, a charmer, a campaigner, a joker. David lived his life in his own unique way. A man with a love of music, a love of women, a love of kids, a love of cats, and most importantly, having a good time. His life was shaped by his passion for music, entertaining others, and gathering people around him. To open our service, let's hear a poem called What Is Music to You by Sylvia G. Music is freedom that relentlessly exists. Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of creativity, freedom of imagination. Music is ever soothingly healing, a bombardment of ongoing expression of feelings. Music is a tool of unity, always bringing people together as family, hence be described as a mentor of spirituality. Music is magic, performing its tricks with sweet instrumental tones and lyrics. Music is emotionally captivating. Music is positively distracting. Music is a form of beautiful art, on as a message on a public stage. Music is as powerful as water, flowing in and out of generations, trapped ever so often only by its own enormous power. Music is an angel singing out from the skies as she flies. Music is love. Music is the food of all moods. Music is perfect, and it's good for you. Let's spend the next few minutes hearing some highlights of David's life story and where it all began. David Sidney Howe, or Anderson, as he is sometimes called himself, was born prematurely on the 28th of August 1944 in Chiswick Hospital in London to his mother Florence. Allegedly, he was the last baby to be born in the hospital before the end of World War II. David joined his three older siblings, Joyce, Ivy and James, in Annandale Road in Chiswick, part of the household until his parents divorced, when he remained with his mother. In his early years, David spent much of his time with family members, especially his nephew Gordon and his niece Linda. His childhood was colourful and mischievous. Many would say telling of the cheeky, charming and unconventional character David would later become. There are stories of him falling off the neighbour's roof into a tin bath and breaking bones. Stories of him babysitting his niece Linda and binding himself up with thread to entertain her. Stories of his school reports saying he would make an excellent clown. David is a free spirit as a youngster, suffering TB in childhood, requiring a period of time in convalescence and attending Tilney Hall boarding school in Somerset. After leaving school, David hoped his livelihood would be sustained by his musical talent, but often his work was supplemented with other income. Over the years, David turned his hand to many jobs, from being a gardener at Chiswick House, a place that always remained special to him, to working on market stalls, an obvious choice with his gift for the gas. selling menswear, selling heraldry, fortune telling, painting and decorating, and window cleaning. Essentially, anything that would bring him cash and allow him to pursue his work in the music industry. David's love was always his music, was singing his natural talent, an able rhythm guitarist with a compelling stage presence. He was a born entertainer who knew how to work an audience. David was heavily influenced by music of the 50s, and particularly Buddy Holly. David's daughter Rebecca remembers him encouraging her to call out Buddy Holly every time a plane flew over. In his early 20s, David played in a band called the Downtowns in Earl's Court, alongside his mates Dave Smith and the late Tony Manning, his lifelong best friend. The band became quite notorious back in the 1960s, showcasing the first drag show in the Lord Ranelagh pub, where they were the resident band, even making headlines in the News of the World newspaper, which read, "This show must not go on." David went on to be a member of another band called Holy Moses. Later in the 1960s, David, or Dave as he was also known, met up with friends Chris and Ronnie Mills in Earl's Court, along with other friends, Tony and his brother Greg Manning, who also became one of David's closest friends. Arthur Scott now in Canada, Pete Langridge, Mick Cooper, Tony Foster, Chris Thomas, Paul Gray, and Ozzy Pete. Ronnie remembers discovering that she and David were related through his cousin Gordon, who was her cousin. David used to refer to himself as "your Uncle David" whenever they met up. Chris proudly boasts that he was the only person ever to sack Dave from the band. His frequent no shows. However, he was very quickly reinstated, as Dave was the only one with his charming, blagging skills that got the band their bookings. Chris and Ronnie have fond memories of the time in the early 1970s at Stanley Road, Shepherd's Bush, where a group of them spent many evenings squeezed into Dave, Marlene's and Ruth's flat, where they listened to great music of the day on Dave's record player in a haze of smoke, playing stuff by the Moody Blues, J.J. Cale, Bob Dylan, Buffalo Springfield, and many other iconic bands of the time. They were also entertained by Dave's anecdotes of the latest scandals and the famous people that he had recently met, always told with a great deal of skill and humour. They have wonderful memories of listening to great music, especially Joe Cocker, Mad Dogs and Englishman LP, which had everybody's feet stamping and nearly wore out the grooves in the vinyl. However, to them, the outstanding event in the early 1970s, before so many of them moved away from London, was the time David got the band booked at Cranley Public School. They performed in the school quadrangle on a warm summer evening to a whole school of teenage boys let off their homework period. David cultivated friendships with quite a few avant-garde lovely types from the arts world. A famous film director, Vivian Cox, who was then teaching at the school, was a friend of Dave's, and he persuaded him to give the pupils an end-of-term treat. By the end of the evening, everyone was up and dancing with a frenzy, and the ground and the walls were shaking. David continued to play with many other bands throughout the 1970s and 80s, one of the bands being called the Wonkies, who played in various pubs and clubs all over Cheshire. In 1995, the band reformed again for Ronnie's eldest son's wedding reception. David had to be on his best behaviour for the audience, but still threw in a few sneaky double entendres just to wind Ronnie up. Her younger kids, who were in their young teens then at the time, still remember the day after. Dave and Chris slumped on their lounge floor for most of the day, had been working their way through large quantities of alcohol, including a mystery bottle of Retsina. At one point, the bottle was not over, and to their kids' delight, Dave took the provided clock and slurringly explained and demonstrated very slowly that the wiping should always be done anti-clockwise to avoid staining. To this day, this is still a family joke, and her boy's abiding memory of David. Whenever anyone spills any kind of liquid, someone always shouts, "How should you wipe it?" And they all reply, "Anti-clockwise." David will be remembered for his easygoing, charismatic character, someone who was a magnet of creativity and kindness to those around him, someone whose affable personality connected others together. David's friend Roselda has many wonderful memories which highlight David's kind, generous nature. He recalls his early meetings with David 50 years ago. Ross somehow found himself working with a band who would play regularly at the White Horse Pub on the Uxbridge Road in Shepherd's Bush. They were called Holy Moses and were fronted by a charismatic singer, David Anderson, aka Sid. Others in the band were Colin and Greg on guitars and Pete on bass. Along the way, Ross met Gordon, a Delphoy-like guitarist entrepreneur, along with his bass-playing Irish girlfriend Christine and her keyboard-playing sister Mary. They were all friends, and Gordon played with Holy Moses and asked him and Colin to move to Ireland to work with them and the girls as part of an Irish showman. David knew Colin well and warned him off from going as he predicted it wouldn't work out. Ross was 18, green, learning the ropes, and said yes to everything. So, along with Colin, he went. David, of course, was right. It was a disaster. And a few months later, Ross returned to London late in the evening, penniless, having spent all the cash he had on the return fares. Potentially homeless and with nowhere to go, he went round to David's flat in Shepherd's Bush, rapped on the door until he eventually came to the window. He didn't even look surprised, but simply opened the door and without a word, got some bedding together for him to get his head down in the small front room. He never once said, "I told you so," but continued to put Ross up and feed him for as long as it took to get himself back on his feet, which he eventually did. Ross often wondered what would have become of him if David hadn't opened the door to him that night. Ross says, "Thank you," he said. "Rest in peace, sir. I have so much to be grateful for." Throughout his life, David had a fascination with Jack the Ripper, and for more than 50 years, he researched, wrote, and addressed meetings, conferences about the subject. David's friend Edward Stowe remembers David addressing a conference in Nottingham. In fact, David considers himself a criminologist, sharing his theories wherever possible, truly enthralled by true crime, human behaviour, and profiling. In 2006, David's friend Ronnie was responsible for an event in Wimborne, Dorset, featuring historical characters of the town. Naturally, she knew of David's lifelong obsession with Montague Jewett, a Jack the Ripper suspect and a Wimborne resident. Ronnie invited Dave to give a talk to the good people of the town. It was hugely successful due to David's skill as a raconteur and his knowledge of the subject. What was more typical of Dave, though, was the following morning. He wandered around the Druitt family mansion, now converted into private flats, and after a friendly chat outside with a resident, got himself invited to afternoon tea in the actual family home of what was once Druitt's home. Later, photographs of David were taken standing by the grave of who David suspected was Jack the Ripper. In time, David published a book about his theories, findings and belief, entitled Blood Harvest, attempting to disprove other theories. In the 1980s, David follows his interests and passions once more, becoming involved with the National Council for Civil Liberties and standing for the council. involvement, which culminated in him being on the board, brought him into contact with Harriet Harman and Patricia Hewitt, advancing Labour Party initiatives around civil liberties. In the 60s and 70s, David's talents were employed on Canalside Radio, where he had a platform to share his interests, his love of music, interview guests and explore current affairs. All of his passions rolled into one. Let's hear a song now called The Last Thing on My Mind, performed by David.
It's a lesson too late for the learning.
Chaotic as his life, but his connections genuine, loving and heartfelt. David's first child, Anthony, was given up for adoption by his partner, Hilary, a decision which David found heartbreaking. In time, he married his birth wife, Marlene, on April Fool's Day, and became a father to her daughter, Ruth. The marriage didn't stand the test of time, and David was blessed with six further children. Stephen with his wife Patricia, Alice and Virginia with his partner Norma, Daryl with his partner Valerie, and Jason with his partner Sheila. David gained another daughter when Emily arrived to his partner Charlotte. As the years advanced, David met his second wife Helen, and with whom they share a daughter Rebecca. David and Helen were married on Valentine's Day after David's divorce to Marlene. David loved his family dearly, and Rebecca organised the most wonderful gathering of extended family for her dad's 75th birthday at her home in Congleton. He was absolutely in his element, just delighted to be surrounded by his children and to have his family together. David and Rebecca have enjoyed an especially close relationship over the years since she was born. He even taught her how to sing before she could speak. What a wonderful talent to have shared. It always inspired her to be herself, as he did to everyone around him. In time, David's family extended, and he became a granddad to many grandchildren. He liked nothing more than to hear their stories and to see them grow up. David especially enjoyed the relationships he had with Daisy, Kai, and Louie. Family for David extended to his large feline family too. Since living in his two-bed mansionette in Suffolk Close in the early 1980s, he has loved the company of a multitude of four-legged friends. At one point, he had 17 cats living in the flat together. More recently, David cherished the company of his late friend Alan, who he met with Scott back in the 1990s. During lockdown, Alan became a housemate with David, and his passing 18 months ago caused David great sadness. Scott was David's creative partner, staying up late and having a ball at the time, making their kitchen with sketches in the style of Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, which they recorded. David will always be remembered as a complex, cheeky, funny man with a big heart for his family and his animals, a lifelong entertainer and a storyteller who could capture an audience, someone who loved having people around him and was never happier than when his house was full and he could hold court. Clever, knowledgeable and engaged, David will be forever loved and cherished by those who were fortunate to know him and to love him. Pause for a few minutes now to reflect on David's life while we listen to a song he wrote for Helen called No Need to Worry, reminding us of his relaxed, unique approach to life.
No need to worry, no need to cry.
David, may you go gently on your final journey. We are thankful that we knew you. We are thankful for the memories you leave behind. We are thankful we shared our lives with you. We treasure the memory of your love and your kindness, of your skills and your talents, of your wisdom and your humour. David, know that you were loved beyond measure, that you will be missed more than words can say, and that you will be remembered always. David, with our deepest love, we let you go. Please sit down. David has left us all with precious memories of him. This dad, granddad, husband, lover and friend was so loved and so treasured. Let his qualities of love and a sense of fun inspire us all. Remember, David, when you experience joy in music, when you appreciate the freedom of living life your way, and when you feel the unconditional love of friends and family around you. Family will be gathering after the service at Broken Cross Club to continue sharing stories of David, and will be delighted if you were able to join them. You are all most welcome. Any donations which are generously given in David's memory will support the wonderful work of Cats Protection, a wonderful charity close to David's heart. To close our service, let's hear a final poem called Take the Love. Take the love you have for me and turn it into laughter. Turn it into blinding light to shine on you thereafter. Take the love you have for me and show it to the world. Something so amazing needs to blossom and unfurl. Take the love that made us, keep it burning bright. Let the fire guide you, let it warm you through the night. Take the love you shared with me and spread it out with gladness. My life will not have been in vain if you can fight the sadness. Take the love, my darlings, it's yours to carry on. Grow that love forevermore, and then I won't be gone. Thank you for all being here this afternoon and sharing in a farewell to a special gentleman. As we leave the chapel shortly, we'll hear a wonderful uplifting song, reminding us of David's upbeat, positive outlook on life. Take care of yourselves as you leave.
Some things in life are bad, they don't really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best.